Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to 3Q FY24 earnings conference call of Muthoot Microfin Limited, hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Bhise from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Muskan. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the maiden earnings conference call of Muthoot Microfin Limited. First of all, I would like to thank the management team of Muthoot Microfin for giving us the opportunity to host the call. From the management team, today we have Mr. Thomas Muthoot, Managing Director, Muthoot Microfin Limited; Mr. Sadaf Saeed, the Chief Executive Officer; Mr. Udit Khulbe, Chief Operating Officer; and Mr. Praveen T., Chief Financial Officer of Muthoot Microfin. We will have a brief overview on the quarter and the business from the management team, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. With that, I would like to hand over to Mr. Sadaf Saeed for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Sameer. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the maiden earnings calls of Muthoot Microfin Limited. Let me also inform you that we had a great quarter this financial year. Just to set the context, because this is the first earnings call, just wanted to introduce the group a little bit. We are a part of Muthoot Papa Chin Group. It's a 137-year-old conglomerate with 80 years of experience in financial services. The core is the bottom of the pyramid, so our flagship company is Muthoot Fincorp. We have another listed company, Muthoot Capital Services, which focuses on two-wheeler finance, and we have a Muthoot Housing Finance company also. But we are focused on microfinance. Muthoot Microfin is focusing on financial inclusion and digital inclusion of customers. We focus on providing joint liability group loans at the bottom of the pyramid, where we form groups of ladies, 10-15, and we provide loans to them over a period of time. The USP that we bring to the table is that we are a well-established business backed by a well-known promoter group, Muthoot Papa Chin Group. Mr. Thomas Muthoot, who's the Managing Director, is a part of the family. Apart from that, we have Mr. Thomas John Muthoot, who's the chairman, group chairman, who's also on our board, and Mr. George Muthoot, who's the non-executive director on our board, so all the three members on our board. Apart from their wealth of experience, they bring in the initial capital that has been infused into the company, around 342 crore. So far, they have infused in the company. Also, the USP of our businesses, all our businesses are focused at the bottom of the pyramid, and Muthoot Microfin really focuses on financial inclusion and getting the customer into the formal segment of financial inclusion. And if you look at, we focus at a customer household as a life cycle need provider of a customer. So we not only provide microfinance, but as the customer progresses in its financial inclusion journey, we graduate that customers and provide them additional loan like home improvement loan, MSGB loan, which is a gold-backed loan, two-wheeler finance if the customer needs, we also provide that. We had a very successful IPO recently, where we had 11.5x subscription of our shares. We raised around 960 crore through the IPO, in which 760 crore was primary capital. After the issuance of the capital, Muthoot family and Muthoot Fincorp, which is our largest promoter, hold around 55.4% stake. GPC, who has been our private equity investor before the listing, they continue to hold 15.13% stake. Creation, which is a Chicago-based private equity firm, they continue to hold around 7.6% stake. And after the IPO, we have around 10.2% stake, which is held by non-institutions, and around 3.18% domestic institutions, and around 6.28% by foreign institutions. And apart from that, there is a 2.03% stake which is held by ESOP Trust that is there. We have a strong governance model. We have a strong board. We have a 10-member board in which five independent members are there. Mr. T.S. Vijayan, who was earlier with LIC, chairman of LIC, is on our board. We have Ms. Bhama Krishnamurthy, she is on our board. She was earlier with SIDBI. We have Ms. Pushpi Murkan, who is a practicing cost owner, is on our board. We have Mr. Anand Raghavan, who was earlier with ENY, is a qualified chartered accountant, is on our board. We have Mr. Alok Prasad, who is an industry veteran, earlier with RBI and NSB, is on our board. Apart from that, we continue to have representation from GPC and Creation. Mr. Akshay Prasad represents GPC on our board, and Mr. Tyler Day continues to represent Creation on our board. And we have the three promoter brothers, Mr. Thomas Mathoot, Mr. Thomas John Mathoot, and Mr. Thomas George Mathoot on our board. So that's the board structure that we have. In terms of IPO proceeds, we received around 760 crores of primary capital. The IPO closed, the listing happened on 26th of December. So we had only limited period in this quarter to utilize that money. So a part of that money has been utilized in the quarter that we are talking about, but larger part of that fund has been utilized in the quarter four. So as we speak, all of that money has already been utilized for our business. Coming to the overall performance of the company has shown great performance in the last quarter. Our asset under management year on year has grown by 38.6%. We have reached around 11,458 crores of asset under management. In the last quarter, we disbursed 2,592 crores of worth of loan, which is a 20% growth year-on-year as compared to last financial year, same quarter. In terms of our branch network has reached around 1,424 branch. We have already reached the number of branches that we had projected for the full financial year. So all the investment that needed to be put in place for the infrastructure has already been done. The last quarter is absolutely clean for our growth, so we are ready for that. In terms of our client base, our active client base has reached to around 3.28 million, which is a growth of around 26.7% year-on-year on our client base. Same period last year, we were at 2.59 million clients. We have 13,067 employees in our company. Our core, which is the strong credit underwriting and strong collection, remains intact. Our collection efficiency remains 98.4%. We have seen significant improvement in our portfolio quality. Our GNPAs have come down 120 bps year on year. It has come down to 2.29%. Quarter on quarter also, we have seen an improvement of 8 bps in our GNPA. Our net NPA remains very low. It is around 0.33%, and we continue to carry a 86% provision coverage on our NPA. In terms of loans, we are at around 4.02 million loans that we have sanctioned so far. In terms of our financial performance, our income has grown by 52.6% year on year to 584 crores. Our PPOP has increased to around 182 crores, which is a 72% growth year on year from 106 crore last financial year same quarter. Our PAT has grown to 124 crores. Which is a 119.1% growth on year-on-year. And our ROA has reached around 4.5% standalone for that quarter, and ROE has reached to around 26% for standalone for Q3. All of this is backed by improvement in our NIM. Our NIMs have improved to around 12.7%. Our operating cost is around 6.07%, but the larger impact has come on from reduction in the credit cost. Our credit cost has reduced from 3%, which was last financial year for the full financial year, to around 1.5% for this financial year, because of improved underwriting and our ability to ensure that we get collection. Our incremental cost of fund has also reduced to around 10.41%. Our overall cost of fund remains at 11.2%, which is stable, but our incremental borrowing that we are doing is reduced to 10.41%, and we believe that we will continue to ensure that we access cheaper funds, and there would be further benefit in terms of borrowing at a cheaper rate. We will decide to pass on some benefit to our borrowers also. We may cut rate, but at the same time, we will ensure that our net interest margin remains at where they are, around 12.7%. And as we progress, the portfolio that we have originated earlier at a lower yield is maturing, and the portfolio that we have originated at a higher yield is now coming in the balance sheet. So our net interest margin will remain where they are. If you look at, apologies, our performance year on year and quarter on quarter, in terms of our branch expansion, our branches have grown by 30% year on year, and as quarter on quarter, they have grown as 5.4%. Our total number of staff has grown to 13,067, which is a growth of 34% year on year and around 6% quarter on quarter. Our number of active borrowers have grown 3.28 million, which is a growth of 26% year on year, around 2.6% quarter on quarter. Most importantly, the AUM has grown to 11,458 crores, which is a growth of 38.6% year on year and a 5.4% growth quarter on quarter. After the IPO, our CRAR has improved to 29.6%. Which is a significant improvement year on year. We have improved around 6% year on year, 6.6%, and 9.11% quarter on quarter. Our GNPA, I've already told, it has reduced by 120 bps. Our GNPA is 2.29%, and quarter on quarter, 8 bps reduction has happened. Our total income has improved to 584 crores, so which is a 52.6% year-on-year growth and 3.1% quarter-on-quarter. Our net interest margins have grown by 53.1% year-on-year. Our PAT has grown to 124 crores, which is 119% growth year-on-year and around 13.7% growth quarter-on-quarter. And our ROE has improved, and our ROA has also improved. If you look at the full financial year for 9 months, the ROA is at 4.25% and ROE is at 24.33%. The most important aspect that I would like to highlight that our asset quality has remained strong despite the floods in Tamil Nadu. We had around 7 districts of our portfolio were affected because of TN. We had excessive rains. Out of that, 25,000 clients were impacted, but because we have a prudent policy, we take a natural calamity insurance for all our customers, and because of which we got claims for all these customers who were affected. So our portfolio is not affected at all. The collection efficiency has come back in Tamil Nadu to 99%. So our portfolio is not affected because of this, and we continue to maintain a robust quality of portfolio. Our overall GNPA is 2.29%, but if you look at the portfolio that we have originated post-COVID, which represents almost 97% of our book, the asset quality in that, the GNPA in that is 1.2%, and this has been achieved by use of robust underwriting processes. We use a credit scorecard for underwriting, where we have developed a scorecard with the help of Equifax, where we identify a customer and categorize them into four categories based on various demographic information. We categorize them into low risk, very low risk, medium risk and high risk. And we focus on low risk and very low risk customers. This helps us to identify customers which are low risk and ensure that we increase our wallet share into that. In underwriting, typically, as I explained during the IPO, that there are two types of errors that a lender can make. One is to lend to a wrong customer, and second is to deny a right amount of loan to a good customer. So this scorecard helps us to identify a good customer and maximize our wallet share there. So because of which, we have been able to maximize our disbursements in this. This financial year, we have already disbursed around 7,700 crores of loans, out of which around 7,500 has gone to very low risk and low risk customers. And among the low risk customers, very low risk customers, the delinquency is just 0.41%, which is really helping us to improve our asset quality. Also, in the process, we have diversified our portfolio. We have expanded, as I mentioned, we have reached around 1,428 branches. Our distribution network has more diversified. We have currently our portfolio, around 12% of our portfolio is in West, around 14% portfolio is in East, around 23% portfolio is in North. Kerala represents only 16% of our portfolio, 1/6, and 9% of our portfolio is in Karnataka. Tamil Nadu represents around 26% of portfolio. So this diversification has also helped. The most unique aspect of our operation is our focus on digital. We have ensured that our digital collection remains as a leadership position in the industry. 28% of our collections continue to be digital. That is directly coming from customer wallet or customer bank into our bank account, which ensures that there is more efficiency in collection, the cost of collection also goes down, and also there is a lesser risk of theft or a fraud that is there. We have now reached out of the 3.28 million customers, around 15.8 million customers have our customer app, Mela Mitra app, downloaded. And we have added more new-to-credit customers. Our focus has been on acquiring more customers. So around 2.1 lakh customers have been added in the last quarter, out of which around 20% of the customers are absolutely new-to-credit. Our mix of the portfolio remains healthy. 51% of our portfolio represent existing customers, and 49% of our portfolio remains new to Muthoot customers. I think with that, I will conclude on my comments. The performance of the company remains strong, and we have put all the fundamentals in place, and with the good amount of capital infusion, the company is at a strong position in terms of continue to grow. We have a strong team, we have a strong underwriting processes, we have put the branch infrastructure in place, and we have good capital flow and also support from the banks. In terms of liquidity, we don't have any challenges. We are actually flushed with funds, courtesy to IPO, as well as the borrowings that is coming. We anticipate that with the infusion of capital and also with the better earnings and better portfolio quality, we should have improvement in our ratings, which will also help us to control our cost of fund. Definitely, our incremental cost of fund has gone down, but with the improved rating, we can anticipate further reduction in cost of fund, and we think that retaining a 12.7% NIM and an ROF of around 4.2 to 4.5 would not be a challenge. We have uploaded an investor presentation on our website as well as on the exchanges for the benefit of all the interested parties. We have also given our guidance for the quarter. I'm happy to take any further calls or any queries that are there. Over to you, Sameer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Uday from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir,
yes.
Audible.
Yeah. I just wanted some color on the NatCat insurance that you have taken. So could you quantify the amount of benefit received due to it in terms of GNPA or credit cost or in any other manner?
So if I quantify that, we have received a claim of around 3.2 crores in the last quarter, and subsequent to that in the January month, we have further received around 3 crores of claim. Around a small amount of 75 lakhs is pending, which will also come in next couple of days. So around 7 crores of claims we have received, which represents two installments of the customers. So if you look at the portfolio which was impacted, was 110 crores of portfolio that was impacted. But because of this NatCat insurance, that portfolio remains current. And in fact, in the subsequent month, the customer has started paying also. And we are reaching a 99% of collection efficiency. So hindsight, if I can say that 110 crore could have been impacted because of that, if we did not had NatCat insurance, and that could have gone to zero plus bucket.
Thank you. That was very useful. And secondly, you have shared a slide, shared a table on slide 15, where I can see some of the district you mentioned that NatCat cover is below, say around 87-95%. So this is primarily on account of higher ticket size on this district, since your NatCat is limited to 50,000, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, correct. So the NatCat insurance amount is in certain old cases is limited to 50,000. In the new incremental policies, we are taking a cover of 1 lakh rupees. So okay. That is where the cover is around 87%, because that covers the loan up to 50,000. But basically that covers the two installment that we want that to cover.
Okay. Yeah, and lastly, on the average ticket size that you have mentioned for quarter 3, can you give the same number for quarter 2 in terms of very low, low and medium?
Yeah, in the quarter 2, the average ticket size was around 48,000 rupees, and among the very low customer, we were at around 51,000. And among the low customers, we were at around 49,000. And among the medium customers, we were at around 45,000.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kausdas from Pramerica Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. First of all, many congratulations on your listing, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers for this quarter as well. I have a couple of questions. So the first question is, we've seen this improvement or reduction in your cost ratios, namely your cost to income as well as OPEX. So I just wanted to get a sense of how that has happened, considering you've been expanding and we've seen your branch expansion increasing by about 31%. So where is that improvement mainly coming from?
So a couple of things have happened over the last couple of years. If you look at our average outstanding per branch, which was around 6 crores during the COVID period, if you look at FY22, 6.5 crore, it has gradually gone to around 8.1 crores outstanding per branch. Even though when we have expanded almost around 500 branches in last two financial years, so that operating leverage is there. Apart from that, we have used a lot of technology in underwriting and also sourcing business. So we have an app called Mahila Mitra app, which is now downloaded by 1.58 million customers. So with this app, the customer can pay the installments digitally, and also they can check their loan track record, and even some of the customers who are regularly transacting on that, we have offered them a Suvidha loan, which is a loan that they can draw completely digitally online. We just do the verification, which is a one-day verification process at the branch, to just to check the credential of the customers are correct, and they can do. So those efficiencies have really helped us to bring the cost of operation down.
So essentially the operating leverage and the use of technology that is primarily affected this. And and how long do you think it'll take for the collection efficiency to sort of exceed that or reach or exceed the 99% levels?
So we believe that we can sustainably maintain 99% collection efficiency. I think the industry as a outlook has maintained around 99% collection efficiency since a very long time, only barring the events. We feel that we can continue to maintain that. A more important point is the credit cost. We have a credit cost of around 1.4%, 1.48%, and we had projected a credit cost of around 1.5%, 1.7%. So we are much below our projection, and we believe that this will continue to remain as the portfolio quality improves. And despite that, we continue to carry a provision coverage of 86%. Which is a healthy provision coverage, and currently, like we are an Ind AS governed company, so we go by ECL model of calculation. As the ECL model progresses into a normal business environment, the loss default projections will come down, so the credit cost will also come down in terms of provision. If you look at currently, based on ECL model and based on IRAC norms, if you calculate, we are providing almost 48 crores more than what IRAC norm recommendations were.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, on the asset quality side, I mean, it is more or less under control. So, the last question that I have is essentially, I mean, going forward, we are expected to witness this 38-39% kind of growth in the AUM side, on the asset side. Would that be a sustainable level, or would it sort of normalize around the 30-35 range?
So we have a CAGR growth rate of last 5 quarters, if you look at it, is at around 34%. And we believe with the infrastructure we have put in place and the customer acquisition that we are doing, we can continue to sustain that growth rate of 34%.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. If I have any further questions, I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Misra from RTL Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question and a phenomenal quarter. I was just trying to wrap my head around the fact that you mentioned that, you know, your incremental cost of funds has come off quite a bit, and that, you know, your yields on advances will actually get higher as you repay. And we've heard from some of your competitors that the regulator seems to be keen on passing lower costs of funds to the customer. So how should we think about that?
No, definitely we will pass on some of the benefits of efficiencies to our borrower. But at the same time, we'll continue to maintain the yields that we are currently maintaining in terms of NIM, sorry. So we have a NIM of around 12.7%, and it's on the back of a mixed portfolio which is originated with the older yields. And post the new regime, the bulk of the portfolio is originated after the new regime. So as the most of the portfolio comes in the new regime, the yields will improve on the overall portfolio. And this will give us an opportunity to pass on some benefits. So both on the yield side, we have an upside, and also on the cost of fund, we have a upside. We will continue to maintain our NIMs at around 12.7%, 12.8%. But at the same time, a benefit of our reduction in cost, we will pass on to our borrower also. So we are already contemplating in our risk management committee based on our pricing model. We are recommending a 25 basis reduction, 25 to 55 basis reduction to our customers who are in the low risk and very low risk category.
Got it. Thank you. And secondly, on credit costs, and I mean, obviously, times are very good and you've done a very good job. But just from a slightly longer period of time, how should we think about, you know, credit costs, say, over a cycle of 3 or 4 years for you?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. So we are going through a phase which is a purple phase for microfinance industry. If you look at across the country, the macro for microfinance has really improved since the regulations were liberalized by RBI. There are three, four things. One is on the freedom of pricing. So people have been able to price based on the risk and the credit cost. Second is the redefinition of the household of microfinance, which was improved from 1.25 lakh to 3 lakh rupees now, so which allows us to focus on customers who are more credit worthy. Also, I think the most critical policy change was bringing in harmonization among all type of lenders in microfinance space. So there was a regulatory arbitrage earlier that there were lending norms, like two lender norms were applicable to NBFC MFIs but not applicable to banks or SMBs. But now everybody has to follow the FYR norm. And companies like us who are sophisticated in terms of underwriting, we are able to implement that very effectively and ensure that our underwriting is strong. Which is really helping us to reduce the cost in terms of cost of credit, and that is what is helping industry to become much more robust. And overall, I think the credit cost has come down, but I feel that you should build a cost credit cost of around 1.5 to 2% in this business. And that is what our projection is. We have projected around 1.7% credit cost. The ultimate result may be slightly better than that, but I think in the long run, one should look at around 1.5 to 2% kind of a credit cost in this business.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
The opportunity. How is your state-wise distribution? What is your policy in terms of, you know, concentration risk?
Yeah, so we have a multi-pronged strategy. If you look at slide 16 of our presentation, we have outlined our distribution network as in branch per state also, and also in terms of our AUM. Our concentration regulation as per our board direction is that we have two levels of, actually three levels of check. One is that our asset under management on book should not be more than 25% in any state. As of now, our AUM at Tamil Nadu is at 26, but on books it's much lesser. Second is that less than 5% AUM in any district. So if you look at all our branches, none of the districts have if more than 5% AUM. The highest is only in one district, which is around 3%. Third one is we have restricted our AUM per branch to around 12 crore. So we believe that unit of risk in this business is a branch. So if we ensure that our unit of risk is under certain controls and it does not go out of proportion, then we have a greater kind of a control. So these are the three concentration risk policy that we have followed. Apart from that, we have diversified our portfolio quite a bit. So around 12% of our AUM is today in West, 14% of our AUM is in East, 23% of our AUM is in North, around 9% of our AUM is in Karnataka, and around 16% of our AUM is in Kerala, and 26% is in Tamil Nadu. Kerala and Tamil Nadu, as a overall portion of the share of the pie, it's reducing, and the North, West and East are gaining. So that is how we are controlling the concentration risk.
Okay. And are you primarily rural or urban? How is your...
We are primarily rural. 96% of our branches are in rural area. And our growth strategy is also acquisition of more customers rather than leveraging on the same customer and increasing ticket size. We are focusing more on acquiring new customer and ensuring that we give the right amount to the right customer.
Okay. And what is your policy with respect to securitization or assignment? You know, how much of portfolio will be on book, how much will be off book, and what do you prefer, securitization or assignment?
Yeah, that's a great question again. Of course, direct assignment and PTC are a very good source of raising funds for us. But at the same time, direct assignment with the off-balance sheet portfolio kind of creates an income variation when the transaction does not happen. So we have made sure that not more than 15% of our AUM we will keep off-balance sheet. A PTC in the accounting standards, it remains the same in terms of our portfolio on balance sheet and accounting perspective in terms of our risk. PTC will continue to do, but both put together combined, we will not be more than around 20%.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for answering my questions.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Shreyash from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My question was on actually the yields. What is our product-wise yield on the book?
So if you look at our portfolio, our 96% of our portfolio is income generating loans. In that portfolio, if you look at our yields range from 22.5% to around 24.95% as of now. It is dependent on the risk profile of the customers and the area that we are operating based on that. But the average yield on that portfolio is around 23%. Our yield on the other portfolios, which is the Muthoot Small and Growing Business, which is a gold-backed loan, is also around 23%. And our yields on individual loans is around 21% that we do, which constitutes around 1.8% of our portfolio currently. But in the coming months, we may increase that portion.
Understood. So you're saying that depending on the risk in micro loans, you offer yields of 22.5 on the lower range and 24.5 on the higher range, right?
Yeah, 24.9 at the moment, going forward, we might cut our rate from 55 bps to 25 bps based on the risk profile of the customer.
Understood. And the second question was on the expansion strategy. We are going into newer geographies. What is the expansion strategy? How do you decide branch locations, distributions, and the origination of loans in those geographies?
So we look at MEB growth. So we go contiguously to the states wherever we are. we go to the neighboring state, but we have a very well-established kind of a policy of understanding the market. So we have a specific business development team, which whatever new geography that we are going, does a complete thorough analysis of that geography. They develop the business development report, which includes both primary data and secondary data. Primary data, they understand what is the population, what is the female population, what is the kind of income generating activities that are happening, what are the kind of loans that there are being provided. Then we take secondary data from the credit bureau in terms of delinquency, in terms of the past delinquency, or is there any other issue in that district or the branch area that we have identified. And based on the feedback of that business development report, we identify the PIN codes that we want to operate in, and that's how we expand. And the selection of a state is based on the geographic expansion. We decide, like, for example, this financial year, we have decided to expand our geography to Andhra and Telangana, because those states have opened up for microfinance again. So that's how we expand.
Thank you. Thank you so much for answering the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ganesh Shetty, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for good setup numbers. So as our NIM is around 12%, can you please mention what is the industry standard for microfinance companies for NIM?
So currently, if you look at the leading players, they are operating in the same range, around 12.7 to 12.9% net interest margin. There was a time when some of the leading players were at a higher NIMS, but I think around 12 to 12.5% or 12.75 is a sustainable NIM that we can. Definitely we want to also pass on the benefit of reduction in cost to our borrower, and I'm sure in the industry you will see more and more microfinance companies coming out and cutting cost in terms of their lending rates, but I think in a sustainable manner 12.5% NIM is what we can expect in this business.
So my second question is,
who is the large scale NBFC, sorry to interject.
Yeah. So my second question is regarding the average ticket size of our loan to retail investors. And also I wish to ask whether we are planning to tie up with any private sector banks for funds, so that, you know, the cost of funding can reduce to sustainable levels and we can increase our NIM. Thank you very much and all the best, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. In terms of our average ticket size, the average ticket size has improved. For the lower risk category customer, we are offering around 54,000 rupees in terms of ticket size, which is almost 80% of our lending. If you look at blended, it is around 53,000 in the ticket size category. In terms of second part of your question, we have tied up with Axis Bank for co-lending business, but that is again a strategy to ensure that we have continuous flow of fund, and also we are able to offer better rates to our customers, and we are also exploring other co-lending tie-ups. But at the same time, we'll continue to grow our on-book balance sheet, which is growing at a 34% CAGR.
Thank you very much, sir. That's all.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Digadis Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations for a great set of numbers. I just have one question. What is your assessment on the microfinance asset quality at the industry level? And what would you be in the next 2-3 years? Because there is a lot of noise and talk regarding RBI controlling and all this thing. So what's your take on that?
I think one of the things that I want to clear the air on, there is a little bit of a wrong understanding on the unsecured loan part, that RBI circular on the higher risk weightage, which has come out, which clearly outlines actually that microfinance does not fall into the category of consumption loans. So I think that is very clear, and that I think circular is very good. RBI has been prudent regulator, and they have done a great job, and that will ensure that the unnecessary lending or excessive lending, which was happening in that space, will not happen in the form of personal loans or loans which were happening in the digital app-based loans and other stuff. Microfinance is a loan which is for a specific income-generating purposes, so I think that does not fall into the consumption loan category. And that circular will have an advantage for microfinance on three parts. One is the excessive lending will stop, so the borrower will not become over-leveraged, and there would be more opportunity for microfinance to lend. Second, on the higher risk weightage, the RBI has not imposed higher risk weightage on microfinance companies, as well as any lending which is done by the lender, like any bank to microfinance companies. That will also ensure that we have more and more flow of funds to NBFC MFIs and for generating microfinance loans. So I think from that perspective, microfinance is quite insulated. And in terms of the credit cost, as I said previously, this is a business where you have to build a credit cost of around 1.5 to 2%. Right now, it's a purple patch for microfinance, so credit costs for all the companies are very less. We are seeing 99% collection on time, and the industry has been very prudent. So certain interventions such as like NatCat insurance that we have taken, and also an FIR-based lending will ensure that there is no over-leverage. And also the RBI policy of uniform underwriting guidelines for all type of lenders, the harmonization of the regulation will also ensure that there is no arbitrage of lending and there is no unnecessarily over-leveraging. So all of that will ensure that the microfinance sector continues to grow in a sustainable manner. The two SROs in the industries are very active. I sit on one of the board of the SROs. I sit on the board of SADHAN. We are regularly interacting with the regulator and the ministry. And the regulator is pretty happy with the contribution that microfinance has made in terms of financial inclusion and now digital inclusion also. And they will emphasize on this, and I anticipate even in the budget there would be something specific to that microfinance. But I don't see any short-term challenges, but in the long run, for any investor, for anybody who's analyzing this business, you have to make sure that you build in a credit cost of 1.5 to 2%.
Okay, thanks. So one question, last question. How would you use IPO money? Like, are you venturing into new sector or like in terms of new division, or how are you going to utilize that fund?
So those funds are already utilized for lending further. So we are utilizing that for augmenting capital base, ensuring that we leverage on that and borrow more money and continue to grow our business by lending that money. So that money is being deployed for offering further loans to our customers.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir. All the best. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. As that was the last question from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Vise from JM Financial for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call today, and a big thank you to the management of Muthoot Microfinance for giving us the opportunity to host the call. You may now disconnect. Thank you so much.
On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.